truth.
On the miles with that yak hard yesterday, Skip. I be on these miles of hen dog, and now y'all got problems with me. Let me celebrate.
So before I get started tonight, man, when I watched the tiny deaths of Justin Timberlake last week, I had a controversial opinion about Justin Timberlake. Y'all gonna cancel me for this.
Okay, let's hear it.
What you got?
I think album for album, he got Usher beat.
Oh, hell no.
I ain't say he was better than Usher. I just said album for album.
I can say I think I like three Justin Timberlake albums. Justified. The 2020 Sexy Back or whatever that's called.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I forgot about the 2020 experience.
But what's the other one you was gonna name?
Justify was the first one. What was the one right after Justify?
I think Sexy Back was the second one. Future Sex Love Sounds.
Maybe that's it.
That's the name of it.
Yeah. So the first three albums, and then
the 2020 experience is part of those first three albums. I think he only has five, but I'm not sure. Can we look that up?
Justify, yeah. Future Sex, Future Sex,
Love Sounds,
My Love
is an album. That's a single. My Love.
Yeah.
My Love. That's a single. What's
it,
the
it is
next
a single
album?
I think they just did it a bunch of different ways, so they counted it as an album.
Platinum stuff.
The next one would be
2020 Experience. Come on, give it to.
Yeah.
Yep, 2020 Experience. Then you got Man in the Woods, which is trash.
Okay, I didn't like that one.
Which is trash.
He was trying
to
be
Man
like
in the
country.
Woods. I didn't like that one.
That's four albums, all right.
Yeah. And then Everything is the latest one. Everything I Thought I Was.
So that's five albums he's made. So I'm putting Justified versus My Way.
Okay.
Then you got 8701, and then you got Confessions. Of course, Confessions is killing all that shit.
I was about to say, hold on.
Confessions is killing all that shit. So, however, I feel like four solid projects over the length of his whole career versus we got 8701, we got My Way, which are okay.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will argue front to back. Confessions to me was the first front to back. Then after that, you get the album with Moving Mountains, I think, is it?
Yeah. Because
he gets married. So he does that album. What's the name of that?
Well, Usher don't really have too many. I think he got two back-to-back. Like, you can go from top to bottom.
Which one would you say that is?
8701 and Confessions.
I feel like I knew you would, but that's I feel like that's a time thing, too.
Because
I can go, I have been back to listen to 8701. I don't really like 8701. I like Confessions. I like is that Raymond versus Raymond?
Yeah, the second one, Moving Mountains. That's Raymond versus Raymond.
Raymond versus Raymond. And there's another one after Raymond versus. What's after Raymond versus Raymond? You got Confessions. You got Raymond versus Raymond. What's the other one?
Shit.
You?
Nah, I don't know.
You.
And given the if we had an album off just this year,
I gotta listen to the.
It's mixed reviews on the Usher. I'm just gonna
I didn't
say
like
Raymond
Usher
versus
album.
Raymond, Hard to Love, Confessions,
Hard to Love,
My Way, Looking for Myself.
Looking for Myself.
Here I Stand and 8701.
Here I Stand, Confessions, Raymond versus Raymond would be my three solid Usher front to cover projects. Mm-hmm. But as for Justin, I give four out of his five albums front to cover. But although Usher got the larger catalog, he's gonna have more hits, more songs,
yeah,
more shit to throw at. And honestly, now that I sit with it, in my opinion, I like Timberlake's Tiny Decks over Usher, but I feel like it's neck and neck. Only reason I like Timberlake's over his because it was more band.
Yeah.
Usher had a smaller band, but that's the only thing I'm giving him a point over Usher. Other than that, I did like the whole
because
Usher.
Well, when you go back and listen to any of Justin Timberlake's albums, he has a lot of live band
musicianship in it.
Yeah, within his within the album.
Yeah.
Justin Timberlake can't do this. Whoa.
No, he can't do that. He can't do that. But that was my hot take of the week. So if y'all haven't seen Justin Timberlake's Tiny Deaths or listen to his album, that was an ad to go listen to the album. I really like it. And speaking of, we're gonna start this podcast.
But don't Justin Timberlake go ahead. Sorry, he got that End of Time. He got a nice riff on End of Time too.
You do,
yeah.
That,
I mean, and then you gotta count his trolls music.
Oh, yeah.
That shit is hard. Yeah. Though. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, man. It's like,
but it don't go harder than.
I mean,
That shit go hard.
They
as
neck
as
and neck. They neck and neck.
Yeah, it's just, hold on. That's
it's just the neck that Usher can still do.
And it's longer.
Usher do got the better one.
And it's longer. Yeah. You know what kind of wind power you got to.
Oh, yeah. He held that thing.
And then he came right back with
it. Falsetto. One breath. One breath. He was like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, nigga, nigga, nigga. That's how you know it hurt, nigga.
Right. Oh, yeah. You right. They punched that.
He came right back to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Usher won that one.
Yeah, bro.
The riff battle.
Shit. Them niggas need to go on tour together. They can do stadiums.
I would like that.
That's a double headliner.
And I don't want to make a black white argument. You know what I'm saying? It was just
I don't see it. I mean,
you
over there.
Someone always gonna make it.
I'm just scared. Like
you over there, you was painting.
You niggas not gonna scare me away from my opinion. I do like these Timberlake albums over us. Do I like Usher? I love Usher, but I was listening to that nigga's Tiny Desk. I was like, hold on, them albums was good front to cover. Mm-hmm. And they might be you could say they mid or whatever, but it's hard to make an album where track one through the last track is good and you don't want to skip it. You don't want to miss nothing in between.
We're gonna take
it. I'd be on 8701 getting straight to the hits.
To your songs.
Yeah, get me straight to my hits. I'm good.
I don't know if you remember that Usher mixtape I had back in the day. That shit was like a whole bunch of unreleased tracks on it.
You need to go find that.
I've been trying to find it forever, man. Because that's where they had their Confessions part. The Real Confessions, part one.
That I mean, it might have been the first
time
I heard
it. On that mixtape before it came out.
That might have been the first time I heard it when you had it.
Yeah.
You was at the Bootleg Man every week.
Oh, me and the Bootleg Man was cool as
you
shit.
You was at the Bootleg Man every week.
That was cool.
It was my people. This nigga had the CD books with everything. And then the laptop came about where you could burn CDs, and it was a wrap from there.
Yeah, man.
This nigga landing like raisins in his potato salad.
No, he do not.
Not cranberries, though. It's fire.
Okay.
Okay.
I try to get it right.
It's like
to give
it's
some
every
credit.
Time.
Yeah.
Give him a little bit.
I try to get
the whole
some credit.
Foods.
What up? Y'all should have known what I was coming in with today, man. Happy Monday.
James Bond.
Something like it. If you're on your way to work right now, it's springtime. We about to set the mood for y'all. One of the great whites.
Look at him.
Dada, are you on the radio?
Hey, little mama, I gotta ask me if I want to. Just tell me, can I get a light? Roll you up and let it run through my veins. I can always see the farthest stars when I'm on you.
Sound like you.
I don't wanna ever come down. I'm loving you.
Turn this up and sing along with me.
So I wanna see the baby. So gonna be my dealer, baby. Cause all I want is you, baby. One more time.
Happy Monday. It's your boy Jumpman Jones. You're not live inside episode 296 of the Kickin' Shit Podcast.
Promote to 300.
I know. Joining me tonight behind the camera, we got D Chocolate Delight, the woman king. She is the homie. How's it going back there?
Everything's good.
Good.
To my right, man, we happy to have him back, man. It is the funny. It is the talented. It is my boy Jails, a.k.a. Jelly. Put him on the bread till he's fair. Young Picasso, your GD super. My man, Mr. J-Line is himself, comedian James D. Jellyfish, man. What's happening, my brother?
James.
Gunny Sergeant, reporting for duty. Spirit child, man.
Nothing much, sir.
You got
nothing
that ninth
much.
Place team on your goddamn body. No.
Ninth place, man. It's a play-in spot.
This is my secondary team. You know what I mean?
Not for two.
Both of my teams suck, first and secondary.
Yeah, dude. I feel
shit crazy.
To my left, man, we got my boy, we got my partner, we got my dog. It's Mr. Jukebox Johnny, a.k.a. Crown Daddy, a.k.a. Crown Poppy, or the El Himador Poppy, the Avion Don, the Terramana God, the Malargo Ho, Mrs. Still Your Girl. Give her right back because she got hematoma. It's Mr. I Got Tree Jobs, man. It's Mr.
Daddy, are you on the radio?
It's Mr. Jukebox Johnny, man. What's going on, my brother?
Not much, man. Not much. Happy to be here. The weather is nice, and I'll let you go, never mind.
All right, man. Thank you guys who listened to episode 295. And if you're joining us this week and you're watching this right now on YouTube, thank you, thank you, thank you. Like, subscribe, comment. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, YouTube Music or some bullshit. And iHeartRadio, that's where we at now. That's where we at. That's where we at. Other than that, man, how are you guys doing? How's your week going? We are recording this episode early, so if we missed a news story, if we missed anything, this episode is early recorded. So hope you guys enjoy it.
I feel
now,
that.
How you guys know how's it going?
I would tell y'all how my week went, but we'd be in here crying.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, so I'm gonna ask y'all in one word.
Uh-huh. All right.
Well, it'll be two words.
All right.
Give me a word for how's your head. Give me a word for how's your heart.
My head. What you mean, like?
My head, like a
head game?
No, nigga. How are you in one word? How's your head? How is your heart?
Oh, that's what you meant. My head is hot. Right. My heart.
Got you.
You don't want to know.
Cold heart. Shout out to my boy Cam.
Yeah, man.
Head. Head, not straight. Cool. I don't know what that means. And my
head, heart, yes, please.
My heart is full. It's full of love and joy right now. My heart's full of love and joy. I will say that. Yeah,
that's what's up.
Peace. I'm at peace. I'm at peace. I'm at a lot of peace. I want to stay at peace.
If I'm going, my head is. Yeah, I be all over the place lately. My heart. I mean, I feel like it's open and receptive.
Okay, receptive.
I like receptive, yeah.
You already know what it is, you heard me. You heard me.
This nigga got to have game, man. Like, he be trying to front, man.
I'm saying I don't. I just, you know.
This nigga's smooth operator.
Trust me. I see through Johnny's
bullshit. I know, right? The Mr. Nice Guy play? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're right. All right, next topic.
All right, yo, real quick, man. North Carolina just started sports betting. I didn't want to go here. North Carolina just started sports betting, man. And so I thought it was gonna be easier to bet these money lines, and that shit's kind of hard because they hook you with making you cook a parlay instead of just taking one game at a time.
Take the easy game. Yeah, I'm worried about my people, man. I'm worried about my people. Y'all man, out here
don't be gambling.
So up to 3 in the morning watching teams in Wichita play
nigga,
softball.
That's not me, but I did stay up. I did stay up to watch. There's a few games that cooked my goose. I knew Dallas couldn't beat Oklahoma, but I didn't know Oklahoma was that good. I never seen a team not miss a shot. I want to say I watched the whole game. This was last Thursday night when I got started. I watched that game knowing, you know, Oklahoma is the team that's picked to win. Mm-hmm. So, but for those out there who don't know, there's more money on the underdog. And since it's the Dallas Mavericks, I'm like, that's not a bad. And it was a good game. But, man, when I tell you Sha don't miss and them other no-name niggas don't miss, they don't miss. And I'm talking about they might have missed a total of, and this is what I seen with my own eyes, maybe 6-7 shots. So every time Dallas missed, it was like, yeah. It's a wrap. They not missing, like. And Sha is just
Shout out to the Thunder. They really good this
Sha
year.
Is
I have
nice.
Seen a few of their games.
Sha is nice.
I don't know why we can't be like, well, I ain't gonna say we no more, but I don't know why the Hornets couldn't build like that.
Man.
Getting there, man?
Even Gordon Hayward came off the bench, got a piece
That's
of
what
action.
I'm saying. How he go over there and start hooping?
He got a piece of action. Then I'm watching my next underdog pick. I picked the Bucks against, what's that, the 76? What's that the game the other night the 76ers played? The Heat. Was it the Heat or the Sixers? Anyway, that shit came down to 3 points. It came down to the last seconds. I had a Kings.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we got Gambling Queen over here,
I got
here
a
too.
King. Yeah, she's won 250, everybody out there. Don't D got 250.
Yeah, she's going to get robbed now.
We based it off what he said. I ain't confirming or denying.
Man. So I'm down bad right now. But listen, my whole point in this conversation was they giving y'all $250 for a $5 deposit. That's $250 in free bets on FanDuel, DraftKings, and MGM is offering $150.
That's a stimulus check.
And Caesars is offering $150. So what I'm telling y'all is this. You may not be a gambler, but it's free money if you win money. Pull that money out, no bet with it, but it's free money if you win money. So that was the point of me even introducing that topic.
Yeah, well, so, good for them.
Thanks,
man,
for the MGM hookup too.
Oh yeah, I think I'm gonna use one of them. I'm gonna use if I get into it.
You definitely get into it. How long did it take you to pick up prospects?
It took me about a month or two.
Yeah, I'm giving you a month because I'm taking them UFC bets now. Because you hit on the last one.
Yeah, I hit on the two I did for prospect. I hit on both of them.
I was pissed. I was like, damn, I should have took that shit. But all right, man. Anyway, man. So Johnny hit us with an interesting.
Are you about to give us your parlay?
No, yeah, give us your parlay. D's parlay.
I was gonna say fuck. What's his name?
Fuck Chicago.
Bogdan.
Oh, Bad Bronovich.
I missed my parlay for seven stacks simply because he did not make four threes.
Yeah, she came that
damn,
close to seven stacks.
Damn, you would have got seven G's?
Damn.
Pissed me all the way.
That would have got me, too.
The fuck off.
Yeah, this how much shit, you
going to let me go? Y'all gambling. You still reading books?
Oh, yeah, I've actually finished two this week.
I just want to make sure. I want to make sure I ain't interfering with your regular life.
And I did some Bible study, so I'm actually studying the Book of Job.
There you go. Okay, good.
It's not even fair. I got the pod done in time. It was released on Monday. Like, nothing
heard happened about my people, man.
He was over here shaking, though. He was shaking as soon as he got the pod done.
No, I was watching the games as I did the pod. So I think that Sunday night, I'm looking at Dallas. I think I was watching Dallas again. Dallas fucked me up with the Kyrie with the buzzer beat on the left hand. I go with the favorite, and they still bust the face. I say, yo, this ain't for me.
This shit killing me.
This ain't for me. I'm waiting for baseball
go
season.
Go ahead and sign up, James. You sound
baseball
like you're interested.
Season.
Nah, I don't.
I'm going to sign up.
But if you have an addictive personality.
Don't
you know,
do that.
But if you do sign up, use my code. Use my code. All right, man. So Johnny sent this over to the group. I've been waiting for James to get back.
Yeah. Oh, 1 second, man.
Hold on.
Let me say one thing about Oprah. Look like Oprah is with, like she dropped Weight Watchers, but now she pushing Ozempic. Like she getting paid from Ozempic
I
now.
I seen that.
So
yo,
I wonder if she got some type of ownership.
But I think so. Yeah. I didn't watch her special. Have you watched her special?
Not yet, but I heard like she trying to like make it so Ozempic is not frowned upon.
Less like what's the word? Stigmatized?
Yeah. And now they saying it help you if you got an addictive personality. Ozempic can help
Why you
with more than well, because you just said that you might have an addictive personality.
Yeah, so we just
so they're saying that like it can help you with more than your food addiction. Sorry. But yeah, that's crazy. If she like left Weight Watchers to get a bigger bag, oh, she'd yeah. trick the world.
Nah, ain't no. I mean, we was wondering what the drug was. I mean, we didn't want to say Ozempic because it wasn't out there yet. But
yeah,
my only gripe with Ozempic is the article you sent about the diarrhea.
Yeah.
Like if I know a chick on that shit, I'm not eating your butt. Like,
ugh.
You've had a day. Because right. you want Ozempic.
Oh my God. Is that a side effect?
I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, diarrhea for some people is a side effect of the Ozempic.
Yeah. I'm looking at you weird. Like you
I guess maybe that
shitty
fat
got to
go
person.
Somewhere. It's getting
I mean,
burnt.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. It's got
shit coming out in your booty.
Well, no, actually, learned this.
Mm-hmm.
Fat comes out through sweat. Fat comes out through breathing. That's where
oh,
it goes.
Oh, okay.
Not through shit.
That's why people would have got keto, got bad breath.
Yeah, because
I mean, that could be it, I'm guessing.
Ketosis.
Yeah,
and it's hard, and it's hard to eat fat and meat, like literally no carbs. You probably don't eat a lot.
Yeah,
like it's hard to really get your calories in when all you eating is like going to the store. Like all you can really do is pick up a rotisserie chicken, like three
and some avocados.
Yeah, some avocados will go crazy. All right, man. So this is anonymous.
All right,
off the internet. My boyfriend of 3 years lost his job last month, which has been a significant challenge for him. He approached me 2 weeks ago and asked if I could help him pay his mortgage, but I told him no.
Fuck.
Last week, he presented me with a spreadsheet detailing everything he had done for me during our relationship, totaling over $20,000 in value.
Damn.
He then broke up with me.
That nigga petty.
3 years down the drain. Despite feeling guilty because he never asked for anything, I still feel that if he's truly my man, then he should have something to offer as well. I can't believe this man broke up with me because I told him no. He found a way to pay it. He found a way to pay it. I don't think I was wrong because he was supposed to lead. He was supposed to lead, not me. Hold on, what?
Sounds like you said he was supposed to lead.
I don't think I was wrong because he was supposed to lead, not me. Plus, I don't live with him. If I was living with him, I would have did it then.
Mm.
Do you see my point?
Mm.
Thoughts. So. Mm. I wonder how much his mortgage was. I think that's important.
That's a good question too.
He did not live with me. He lived on his own. That's what she was trying to say at the end. That's important.
But
I mean, if I got you, far as like $20,000
of guy
worth of shit,
yeah,
then I'm gonna need for you to have me in some kind of aspect, and it might not necessarily be $20,000, but it might be a mortgage payment. You know what I'm saying? If I need it, or it might be something. It don't matter what it is. You know what I'm saying? Where's the love? Like, you gotta show love.
If that is the basis or a common understanding between the two, because what it sounds like is he's operating from a husband heart. She's just there as his girlfriend. So she's operating on, if I give him this money, you know, then what, he gonna have somebody in the house? And like, women do that.
They've been
not
together
all,
for 3 years.
Not all. But I mean, 3 years ain't shit.
Shit.
Like, nowadays, that don't really mean anything,
right?
Sometimes.
15-year marriages. Men cheat the whole 15 years.
We heard about Clay's dad. So I feel like she may have been kind of just like standoffish on that, with the whole, I don't want to pay for your mortgage because I don't live with you. But I think it's important that if he is able to pull receipts and say, I paid $20,000 for you and you don't live with me, then she should at least be like, all right, I can give you half. I can work with you. I can do something. If this is somebody that you see yourself being with. But she honestly, we don't know how much this man's mortgage is. She may not have it. She may not be able to cover him and cover herself. So if that's the case, then no, I can't help you with your mortgage, and then I'm over here struggling.
Well, she left a lot up to theory.
Right.
Yeah. So she never cleared.
She
didn't
cover herself.
It's not clarified.
Right. So it's because we don't have all the data, all the info. It's kind of hard to say, like, is she right or wrong?
He did the right thing.
I mean, yeah, because essentially, even
in
the marriage.
In the essence of a relationship, you're wrong.
Yeah.
I feel like that. Like, she's wrong in the essence of a relationship. Now, had that been just a nigga you was fucking, I get it. Nah, nigga, I don't know you like that.
Even if you're married, like, she should be able to help cover when things, you know, arise. But that's what I'm saying. Like, we don't know how much she was asking for.
And I feel like that was for the better. Like, as a man, like, you got your answers. Bitch, can't even help you.
And low-key, that probably was a test.
Might have been that. Hey. Might have been. He probably just won the lottery. She ain't know that. He wanted to see how real she was.
Phew.
But I thought it was, I'm with it that it was, that she should have helped out or saw how she could help or at least tried. If she would wanted to be with him and want to continue a relationship, but I thought it was petty to Excel sheet. I'm like, come on, bro.
That's
like,
he had that in the tuck.
That's the part I got stuck on. I was like,
yeah,
bro,
he
Excel
made
sheet.
That before that. He,
yeah, he been had that. She needed to check the date on the Excel sheet, see when it was created.
Yeah, he cracked the safety glass on that. Bitch.
Uh-huh. Usher tickets.
Yeah, like, you going home filling that shit out?
Mm-hmm.
What if she had a spreadsheet of every time you came early?
I will say, I worked for this executive for a little while as his personal assistant. And so I had to organize his receipts for both his fiance and his girlfriend separately.
That's my dog.
So
not just
it's possible.
Yeah, it's possible. That's wild.
That is some wild shit.
Alrighty. sorry, she blew me with that one. I'm like, damn, bro, out here living like a Tyler Perry character.
So they dropped this Quiet on Set documentary, and it blew the internet afire. Twitter got to it. There have been some interviews with Dan Schneider, which this documentary was mainly about. I hadn't finished it, but just to give you guys want to give an overview of what Quiet on Set is for people who may not seen it, may not know what it is.
Yeah, so Quiet on Set came out, I think it dropped, last Friday?
Mm-hmm. Sunday, I think it was over the weekend.
So they were highlighting the toxicity that took place on the sets of Nickelodeon shows, tween shows. A lot of it was surrounding the heavy hitter producer at the time, this guy by the name of Dan Schneider. And they talked to the different child actors and actresses and kind of got a backstory on what they went through and the kind of environment that was there. They also talked to the writers of these stories. And so you kind of have an understanding from, you know, the first two parts of it that Dan Schneider, he really was like hands-on, had to be in control of everything. And the fact that if you did not do things his way, then you pretty much were out of a job. It was very, you know, sexist, a lot of things that are unethical, you know, according to a lot of policies that we've all seen and read. So the first two parts build up to the heavy hitter that's coming. So I know you guys have heard Drake Bell, Drake and Josh. So Drake Bell.
Hold on, let's not jump straight to that. Let's start at the beginning, like episode one, episode two. Let's take our time.
It's in two parts.
Yeah, episode one, episode two. I mean, they don't get to Drake Bell in episode three, but I'm just saying.
Right, so one and two is Wilmore first part. And that is the...
That's Dan Schneider.
That's Dan Schneider.
Right, that's Dan Schneider. So essentially, he built this toxic environment that people were not comfortable with being able to speak their minds. Parents were not allowed on set.
Are parents ever allowed on set? Do you know that, Johnny?
I'm not too sure. I think in some cases, especially probably now, they are.
Okay.
But I don't know why parents wouldn't be allowed on set, honestly.
I know they're around the logic behind set. That. I don't know. I can't say, like, from what it sounds like once they start filming, they're in a spot, but they're not allowed to be out there during in the workspace. It's like they're in the break room somewhere. And the kids are off with production and staff. That's what kind of how I imagined it.
It could be because you have parents. We've seen it in coaching games. Parents want to be coaches. So if somebody's telling their child something, you know, they may want to speak up or walk on set and give a pep talk and do this and do this. And it just, some kids are not as comfortable performing with their parents right there.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, that could be it too. I know this is like the first couple episodes. This is like the first era of Dan Schneider. Because they do go back to him on the fourth episode, but it's like the first era when he had all that, Amanda Bynes show, like our era. And then he has like another era where he brings in like Britney Spears' little sister, Ariana Grande, and them. But it kind of, they kind of paint the picture to how they're going to end it. But it's one thing is, these people in Hollywood that come out as like predators or they create toxic environments, it's like they super successful.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Harvey Weinstein.
I wanted to note, although Dan Schneider is a sick individual, especially from a grown-up standpoint, I wanted to note, like, that was a genius idea to create, what you call it? Damn. But what's it called? It's a type of comedy.
Like sketch comedy?
To create sketch comedy for teenagers or children is a genius idea.
Right, it was.
But we're running into, in the first episode, what we are always run into. Adults create content for children, but adults are adults. And a lot of times when adults create content for children, they put hidden messages in the content that the children have no clue about. May even go over the parents' head, but when you grow up and you start looking at that content again, you're like, hold on. This character is actually gay. This character is actually this. This is this. So when they started to point out the type of the things that were lewd and he liked to laugh at, like you had the, which they explain later when we get to the big dog, the glory hole jokes, the cum shot jokes, how they were sexualizing, was that Ariana under Grande when she was pouring the water all over herself? Like, it was very nasty to know that a adult used porn as his inspiration to write for kids. Even racism with Nose Boy.
Yeah, like, as that a
kid,
shit was crazy.
Yeah, you don't catch that, but then you got a black kid being Nose Boy. And his mom is there. Like, you know what I'm saying? But she wouldn't have in a lot of that shit. But the fact that you let Nose Boy slide, like,
because
he's a dark skinned kid with a big ass nose, or a black kid with a big ass, like, we got big nose. I get it.
And his shoulder pads are black penises.
Yeah, he had the black dick shoulder pads.
Yeah, and then what was it? Fetus, the youngest rapper, and they had to make the fetus black.
Yeah,
like the fetus is pink regardless of your race. But anyway,
and I thought it was interesting. Something else that was weird, I think it was with Amanda Bynes, she played a character, something Taint.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Taint joke.
Something Taint was the last name.
Yeah, Taint was her last name. So Taint, they spelled it, you know, funny, but it's still Taint. So Taint, for those that don't know, is actually the skin part between a man's testicles and his butthole.
Yeah.
So
a little flap of skin there.
I want to say, if you've worked... And if you've ever worked in America, period, around white people, you've worked with white people like Dan Schneider, who thinks lewd shit is funny. And especially when you're like around our age, we come from an era where like, yeah, there's an HR department, but you don't really go to it.
Don't need to know their phone number.
So when a guy tells a joke like that on the job, you like, you know, that's just him. That's how he get down. So I see why these people was letting a lot of this shit go. But even I think one of the black girls from All That later on, she's like, you know what? I'm sitting here thinking about this shit as an adult. This shit was not, it was weird. You know what I'm saying? I hadn't even got to the back rubs yet that I heard they were giving him on set, like the children. But I did get to the inappropriate touching. You know what I'm saying? Like, or just the him being in the hot tub with Amanda Bynes.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, it's
right. But it's weird because the guy had an eye for talent and he knew how to like create TV shows. He created like so many TV shows that were all successful. And shout out to Amanda Bynes. I forgot how talented she was.
Oh, yeah, she was.
She was like 11, had her own show.
And Axe Ashley was and ideas. Shit.
Yes, yes. When she came to All That, she pretty much took it over.
Yeah.
Yeah, she pretty much took it over.
Get hit in the head with a healer monster.
But yeah, man. Even Dan Snyder getting Amanda Bynes to get emancipated from her parents.
Yeah.
He drove a wedge between her and her parents. Yeah. What I would have loved to have happen is we find out from Amanda Bynes what was really going on. Because if Dan Snyder is this lewd as a human being, then I could imagine what you were doing with your closest talent.
They drugged that girl up.
Yeah, I said, yeah, you couldn't trust what she said. Now she kind of like got the Orlando Brown going on where you don't know if she telling the truth or not.
She don't even look the same.
And you know, she had never did drugs, none of that. She ain't never drink. She ain't never do none of that shit, bro. And
but now, as a kid, right?
Like, period. She's never done it.
Mm-hmm.
And now she all fucked up, man. They fucked that girl up. The only reason why I know, because I was watching this YouTube thing on her.
Yeah.
Like, way before this whole conversation. But man, it's just a sad situation. A lot of situation. People
talked about Amanda Bynes, like fall from grace, just like how she is now. Like they remember as a child star, and I mean, it's just. But this happens to child stars all the time in Hollywood. If your parents aren't in there, like when we see people like Tia and Tamera, that mom and dad was like heavy. You know, Taj Mahri.
Yeah,
they come out how they come out because them parents is like, I'm not leaving this set. Jason Weaver gets the deal he gets with the Lion King because his mom is like, we not signing that, and I'm on this set. So it's like these kids in Hollywood, it's not a mystery that pedophilia is going on in Hollywood. It happens to these children, and these are not the first stories, but we do live in a day and time where now you can get the documents, now you can get the information, now people are not afraid to come out and speak because now you got support from strangers and people you don't know, you know what I'm saying, who are going to say, yo, that's wrong, and we support you, and we you know, they should do something to these bastards who did these horrible things to these children. Like, this shit is sick.
Yeah.
When they talked about the dude who sent the nude to one of the talents, one of the young ladies.
The black guy?
The first thing that went through my mind was, this is 19... The white dude.
I forget the first guy's name.
They didn't even play with the black dude like that. And I think I love how his mama touched on that. Everything with him was like, man, we, you know, his mom over there. Like, I mean, she didn't even realize what she was saving her. Like she said, I didn't realize what I was saving my son from. Because essentially, yeah, he was heartbroken, but now he's probably on this documentary like, oh, damn, they was doing that to y'all?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
touch your little wee wee.
Like, that is wild.
Let's not say that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But nah, I mean, I lost my place what I was gonna say, but yeah, just him sending a nude at that time. Like, I don't know if y'all know, like back then you didn't take a picture and send it.
Yeah,
like you didn't. That's not how
it developed, right?
You had to do things to get a picture out to somebody. These niggas are sick.
That's why the daughter reacted the way she did by shutting off the computer. Because back then you couldn't just close something fast.
Yeah.
So she just shut it off and went in her room. I wish the daughter would have spoke.
I wish the mom would have said something back then.
Right, because the mom didn't say anything because she didn't want her daughter to get, you know, backlash to be received by her daughter from her reporting it. But I feel like once her daughter decided, I did not, like she said her daughter didn't want to go be an actress anymore. At that point in time, when your daughter's not going to be on that set anymore, you should have reported something.
Yeah. Mm.
For sure.
I don't know why they were doing it. I mean, they probably, a lot of them parents want their kids to live a certain dream. And I think maybe that's why they don't say much.
Right.
Or maybe they just think that's how it is.
Because, well, that like, was the environment.
That was the final straw, though. I think she never came back.
No, she never came back. That was the only thing that happened, but that's all it took. Like, you know, which was unfortunate because it shouldn't take that. That shouldn't have ever happened.
Nah, that's definitely not.
I wouldn't even. We would have been there that day. We would have. I would have. What happened? We've been in the car. We've been one way to the set.
And I could see the mom struggle because, you know, you want your children to be successful. And you want your children to be successful. And if it, you know, if it ends up blessing everyone's life, that's even more, like, you know, great. So I could see it was a, she really did struggle in that moment. She probably has regrets now or, you know, later that she probably didn't share.
Yeah.
That she should have said something. Because I don't know what happened to that guy. Like, he was still working there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, they don't talk about him after that point.
Yeah.
But he was apparently still working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird. I did read Jeanette McCurdy's book last year. It's funny that they dropped it, but her, like, her mom would push her to do certain things. Her mom would make her, would make sure she ate less than 1,000 calories a day as a kid. Because
they called her fat.
Yeah, because sometimes.
Oh, is that the girl?
I'm
glad my mom died. Mm. Yeah, that's the one that she did. iCarly and Sam and Cat.
Okay.
But that's the one that, oh, you didn't reach the fourth episode yet.
Okay, I'll see it. But y'all can tell.
But yeah, she talked to Dan Snyder in her book. She calls him the creator and the things that he would make her do and how he would make her feel. And she talked about that in her book, but I guess she didn't say his name in the book.
She never says his name, even in her interview. She says creator or the producer.
Yeah.
What's the name? Never mind, go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, well, go ahead.
Nah, but it's just like sometimes these parents are kind of letting that stuff go on or actually pushing it.
Yeah, I feel like that with Amanda Bynes' parents. I really do. I feel like they let things happen to a point where they got pushed out the picture.
Yeah.
And they probably never thought it was happening because they even mentioned how her dad was heavily involved in her shit. You know what I'm saying? But that ain't always a good thing, too. Like you say, he say do this, then let's do this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Drake Bell dad was a certified redneck. He wasn't having none of that
when
shit.
When they get to the Drake Bell part, that shit hurt to hear.
Mm-hmm. And it's more hurtful because no one knew it was Drake Bell. This is his first time ever speaking about it publicly.
Mm-hmm.
So when the lawsuit was filed, originally it just said child actor. So all the other child actors that were on the documentary, they said they heard about, oh, this happened, but no one knew who it was.
Right.
So
side note, they have, you know what you just said, mm-hmm. and the internet's been trying to figure out, and the internet thought it would have been Amanda Bynes.
Mm-hmm.
They thought Amanda Bynes was going to be the person on this documentary that was going to tell it all.
Oh, okay.
So that's what you're saying. Like, people have been trying to figure this out.
And so when he sat down, and it was like, I think the part that got me was his dad. Like, I wanted to cry with him because I could tell, like, it really bothered him. But it's like when they ended the second episode, it showed the highlights from the court documents.
Yep.
So you see, like, you know how they do the emboldened and highlight or whatever? You see all the things that happened to this quote-unquote child actor. Mm. And then the next episode, episode 3, is when Drake Bell comes and sits down. And so that's when you put two and two together, like, oh, shit.
Yeah, and what was that guy's name? Brian
Peck. No relation to Josh Peck. His Drake and Josh, so his co-host or co-actor, his name is Josh Peck, but he has no relation to Brian Peck. So he has also been getting a lot of backlash. So Drake Bell actually came out and said, like, people, please leave him alone. He just happens to have the same last name.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Brian Peck was the guy that was working on set. If you are old and young enough to remember, he was on All That Has This Guy, the pickle guy, mm-hmm. Which, you know, he would run around and he would give pickles to people. Now, Dan Snyder, being the sick bastard he is, these pickles ain't nothing but dicks in his eyes. He thinks it's quite funny for people to eat a pickle, kids to eat a pickle. They even fed one to a famous celebrity through a fucking glory hole. And now when I see that, I'm like, oh, I get it. And so even the way they shot it, edited and cut it, yeah, it's, he sticks it in the hole. Dude pulls it out the hole. And it's just the way they shot it, man. It's just, once you know that's what's happening, you're like, oh, that's sick. And then he's eating the pickle like this. And to go back, how they made Ariana Grande milk that potato.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
a penis.
Yeah.
Them niggas are sick. And I'm trying to figure out why no one ever caught on to that.
And so the only concern they had,
like, the viewers.
The only concern that even viewers had at that time was the interactions from the internet. Because if you remember, her show part of her show was pretty much based on her doing these live online videos. So those were actually happening. So they couldn't control necessarily what always popped up on the side.
Time out. They were, she was doing things at the request of somebody online on right. a TV show for children.
Right. And so it was like, but they, I don't know if they were like coming from actual online or if it was like people, like, you know, how somebody's on the back on the set. Yeah, with computers yeah. setting, you know,
dog, is that what for real? Yeah.
So yeah, she,
I think it's scripted. I think that stuff was scripted. I would hope like it's coming from a different. Yeah.
They showing Cam Girl to our kids.
Yeah,
shoot, that was our. That ain't even our kids no more.
But that essentially that was the beginning yeah, right. of that was well, the beginning we were the kids.
Yeah. Right, my bad. They was, I'm sorry. They was showing Cam Girl yeah. to us. Right.
Wow. They wonder why we perverts
even,
right now.
Even that, like the potato. What was the other one with the water?
Yeah,
the
pool yeah, when water she was like laying.
That's just so all backwards of it was awkward. On the bed. Yo, now yeah. I do remember the one when she was sucking on her toes. Like I remember that mm-hmm. one, and I was like, "That's why was she?"
Yeah,
do
bro
that?
Was wild. On her bro own was sick. Toes. Yes. And then like even the writer said they didn't want to say anything because they knew he would like just. It's hard to get a writing job in Hollywood,
right?
And he would say, "Let's not tell people so they don't take it out." Like yeah. the jokes and stuff. He was like, yeah, I know what it really means, but let's not say anything. Yeah, because that's not like we don't know.
The executives asked him about taint. And he yeah, was like, taint. No, that doesn't mean that. We mean like tainted. Yeah. Like, and so he left it at that. And then that's what I forgot. Jenny was the lady that sued him. She was one of the writers. So
oh, yeah, yeah.
She they got made fired, it, right?
They made it so she never worked in Hollywood again.
Right. But, and which was, she was afraid of, but she knew it was going to happen. So she sued him anyway. They settled out. Of course, those documents are sealed. We don't know what was the settlement was. But he made the only two women writers split their salary, which is illegal.
It's crazy.
And then the second season that she came back, he told her, because the first one she got let go or she got fired. When Jenny came back, she was the only woman writer, only female writer in the room. He told her he needed her to work 27 weeks, but she was only going to get paid on a contract basis of 16. So he wanted her to work
for free
the 11 weeks for free. But he hired a white male full-time, no background experience, full salary. That's the same crazy. Time he asked her that.
But back to, because we're off on a tangent, back to Drake Bell coming out and telling his story for the first time. He told a story about this guy named Brian Peck who seemed to be friends with this John Wayne Casey that was in jail, that was in prison, the serial mm-hmm. killer. Mm-hmm. They were pen pals. They had a relationship. And there was a kid's party at a grown man's house, and somebody seen some artwork, and he was like, yeah, my friend sent that to me. And they started showing you the clips of who John Wayne Casey is, and this is this nigga's pen pal who was a known pedophile and serial killer.
Mm-hmm. They had Netflix on him, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so he got close to Drake Bell and was able to drive a wedge between Drake Bell and his father, telling them basically your dad's stealing from you and you won't make it far in this business mm-hmm. as long as he's your manager, because Drake Bell's father was on everything. He could see that this dude was sick from a mile away, and so he was always over there protecting him. But once he drove that wedge in between them, Brian got access to him, and essentially he ended up molesting Drake when he was what, in his teens? 13, yeah, 14,
15.
15, somewhere in there. So yeah, that and it's just sad to watch play out on camera right. like that, because even Drake has had his issues as an adult, and just to watch him, when you watch him, I mean, he, you could tell he's still,
yeah,
he's still fucked up.
Hard
about
to
that
deal
shit.
With that stuff.
Yeah,
and like that if you look at the description and from the court document, he's like, man, he was doing some sick shit to that little boy.
That nigga's nasty.
Yeah,
I would have hoped. Do you know if his mom is still alive?
I'm not sure. He didn't mention him. He didn't mention the mom much besides her, just the part that she played and everything. Yeah.
I pray for it. Man, I couldn't imagine.
It's glad stuff come out like that now, so people that are in that entertainment industry now, yeah. I'm not sure if all that stuff's still happening, which it probably is, but it's just, you can look out for it now.
Yeah, well, Nickelodeon did have their statement that they showed with every episode. I think overall what we got from this is, like you said, this is probably has happened more often than we know about. I think we're starting to hear a lot more with the childhood actors and behind the scenes of things that, you know, we grew up with, because NDAs are running out or expiring. Mm-hmm. And so it's just weird.
I've seen that online too. Yeah.
It's weird. It's really weird. I feel like we're gonna get some more because we still got Disney. Yeah. And Brian Peck, even after was said and done, he did go over to Disney.
After he served jail time,
served jail time, he worked at Disney just for a stint because he did voiceovers for a cartoon. Yeah. And then Disney fired him when they found out who he was and what he had done. And then they removed his voice completely from the cartoons. But he did try to go work for another child
I will say, company. If you were, they told, when he raised concerns about Brian, they was like, yo, he gay, you don't need to worry about him. Nigga, that my son is a man.
No,
all the more reason to worry about you.
They told the father he was homophobic.
Yeah, they told him he was. Yeah, they say, hey, he's gay. You're probably just homophobic. Da da da. Yeah, the more the reason to worry because he like motherfuckers that's the same sex as him. I mean, whether if you're a pedophile, your sexuality don't matter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? What you prefer to assault don't matter. I'm not even talking about this man's preference and what he likes to assault. This nigga likes kids. Period.
I think it was the fact that Drake Bell was also it was a rock star, so he was like doing music, and so Brian Peck would go out of his way
to be at the concert with
his quote unquote friends. It's like, why are you 40 something year old man with friends?
Let's go check out Drake's show tonight.
Going to a teen rock show,
and you know what? I think with some parents, like, and this is like away from that. I know nowadays some parents won't let their kids stay at other people's houses, but you got to think sometimes in situations where kids don't have father figures and they play on football teams, those guys go spend a night at some of their coaches' cribs, like with other kids. Don't mean nothing, but with other kids. And so it's like, now, like what the world that we live in, you really got to be cautious. Like, nobody is who they say they are. Exactly. A lot of the times, like, you really got to watch people. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's just, it's just so fucked up to take advantage of kids. And I say this all the time. I believe if you are doing this type of shit to kids, like, they should give you the death penalty. It shouldn't be an option. Like, months in jail should never be an option for if you're accused of pedophilia. If you're accused and you go to court and the court system accuses you of this, there's only one sentence for this shit, the death penalty. I don't believe that there's any other way to solve this. Because we give niggas the death penalty for less. I was reading something on Tukey Williams. Y'all know they executed Tukey.
Yeah.
Tukey spent the rest of his life changing his life through his work. He never hurt a child. He wrote books for children. Just to prove, like, yo, let me live. If you let me back outside, I can be a changed man. Prison has changed me. Something like that deserves grace. But something like this sick ass shit, nah, dog. These are the type of people that we need to lethally inject. But instead, we're lethally injecting people like Tukey. We ain't lethally injecting a man that we reported on that lived in Texas that was accused of a crime that he didn't even commit. These are the people that we lethally inject. But these niggas got countless, like, witnesses.
He got 11 charges. Okay, 11 charges.
We got the guy that you raped saying you raped him. Why are you alive?
Right. The support. I don't know if you got that far yet, but during the trial, he had so much support on his side from previous actors and producers.
They wrote letters. It was people over there. And Drake said during the trial, it was just him, his mom, and his brother, because his dad still didn't know. Trial had already started, and he said, my dad's so emotional, I couldn't tell him. So his dad still didn't know. His dad just knew he got arrested, that Brian had got arrested. He did not know it was because of Drake.
His dad would have made sure that man didn't see any jail time.
Oh, yeah, he would have used his damn, that man. That pistol he been holding on to. Oh, yeah.
He would have took that man out. But yeah, man, I hate to put a sour mood at the top of the podcast, but man, it's a really good doc. If you grew up on the Nickelodeon shows like I did, it's definitely worth your watch. It's on Max right now. Somebody said it was on Hulu. It did come out on the ID channel live over the weekend. Four-part series. It's real quick watch, 45 minutes an episode. Other than that, man, what's out? What else came out this week? You nerds got X-Men 97.
I liked it.
I haven't seen it yet.
All right, well, I ain't gonna ruin it, but it's gonna be a good series. It's gonna be a good series.
First
episode is good. Second episode is great.
All right.
I seen what they did to Morph. I like that.
Morph is pretty
cool. Got a power up?
No, he's just his Heidi.
Yeah, he's like, he don't walk around as his, the Morph that we used to. He's kind of got the white, like the comic book version. It's an all white version of Morph.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, man.
And
he
can transform to other stuff. But yeah, the first episode is really good. But the second episode, they leave you with a hell of a cliffhanger.
Mm. Oh, they gave us two.
Yeah.
They gave us two. Mm-hmm. Cool.
So now it's going to be one episode per week. But that's pretty good. I watched Invincible. That's getting good.
The new episode is out today, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
I watched that one. That's getting pretty good. Physical 100 just started that. I like the first season of Physical 100, so I'm definitely going to watch the second one. And then the Star Wars trailer dropped for the Acolyte trailer. It's a prequel about how the Sith started, the Sith culture started.
Okay.
Anybody seen Dune 2 yet?
I'm waiting for it to come.
We're gonna
out.
Wait for HBO Max.
Yeah. Okay. I can't be in the movies that long no more unless it's Marvel. And that or Star Wars, maybe. Like I don't think I can wait in the movies for that long for anything.
I
don't
think I'd do Star Wars. Like after we did number nine
was killed me, bro. Yeah.
Also BMF man, still up on BMF. I really don't have much on this recap, but it was funny. You watched episode 3 already, didn't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I gotta watch it tonight. Yeah, I'm still into the. It's getting worse. You're right, Johnny. This is bad, but it's still a good story. It's still a good show, man. You was right last week. D was right. Neo is turning gangster.
Yeah,
we about to see.
Wait till you see the third episode.
Okay, we about to see gangster Neo. It was funny. We had the whole conversation on the last episode. I was like, I don't like how Meech pops treat him, and then on this episode 2, we got Meech and his pops really bonding over music.
Mm-hmm.
That shit was. This by far was my favorite episode, just to see him finally be like, you know what I'm saying, like show some love to your oldest son, like show this nigga some love, man, stop treating him like a stepchild.
Mm-mm. Can't do that.
I thought it was good to see. Fake Tupac was crazy.
Yeah.
Like fake Tupac was horrible. But yeah, man, all in all it was good. All right, y'all.
What episode you on? Third one, right?
I'm on the second one. Hold on.
I'm only saying,
I thought Tupac was on the third episode.
Oh, then I'm on the third one then.
When the dad come down to Atlanta?
Yeah, that's the third one.
Yeah, that's the third.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's the episode I'm talking about. Okay, I thought you... When the next one drop? Tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, episode 4 tonight, yeah.
Oh, so it's been 4 episodes.
This will be the fourth episode that's coming out.
Oh, damn. Okay, and that Dyke girl is... Like so. Well, I don't know what to call it. What's the
butch.
Correct
stud? Okay.
Okay, the butch.
Butch stud.
The butch woman. I don't know if butch I need man. To mark that or not. Somebody let me know in the LGBTQ community.
They're gonna whoop your ass.
But nah, this is a crazy character. The most unnecessary character.
Yeah, I guess she the bad guy in this season. Well, she the Detroit bad guy. Seemed like. Cause seems like you gonna have the Haitians in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And then while they in Detroit, seeing like the that girl and her group gonna be the bad guys.
And you got 2 Chainz just turned against him.
Yeah,
2 Chainz gonna be a problem.
Probably
too.
Gonna sell him out. Or something.
I feel like he either gonna sell him out or join over with the Haitians, or he gonna try to get in with the Haitians, and he's gonna be the example.
Maybe they're good. That? They need to kill him. 2 Chainz acting. I thought it would be better.
Well, he looked like a walking Q-tip.
Yeah, maybe it's just how awkward he looks.
It's like all them locks under that damn afro and getting it, bro.
Right. It's like they had no choice but to give him a big old afro.
Not and then a little baby Q-tip. Pop up out of nowhere.
Yeah, right.
And he can give really everybody can't out, act. Definitely not.
Nah, he's just throwing up a whole bunch of peace signs and smiles. Uh-huh.
I'm riding with me. If it... Yeah. I'm ride with Meech. Like what?
That nigga had 3 lines and they sucked.
Get baby.
I'm riding with Meech.
I'm riding with Meech.
What do you think?
And then I like how T played Lala when she called him trying to get him to come over, and he was like,
because he folded at the end. They was
he
about
did.
To fuck.
He
I
did,
was like, yo,
did.
Dog. That's MILF. We was talking about MILF.
Yeah,
a cougar.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
cougar.
Yeah, Lala a cougar.
She a cougar for him.
But I'm glad like his mom interrupted that because she don't. How you going?
Lucille don't play, baby.
How are you going to be in that man's house, and then he got another apartment, and you like, oh, this nice. The house would be nice too if he lived there,
right?
But you got a house out of him. You remind him every chance is convenient that you married, and now you gonna try to sleep with him in his apartment. Right. So you gonna be over there too? Like
she, I think she knew she was losing him. She's like, let me get him back in with this vintage vagina.
But I do want to know.
That shit gotta be good.
I just feel like vintage. She was the one to call CPS.
You think it was her?
I think we gonna find out, because remember she said you'll find out in 30 days.
It was the cops.
Yeah, I thought it was Flattery or whatever his name is.
I feel like the cops did that because he said, I'm not rolling with you. And so I feel like that's what why he did it.
That's what I was thinking. But
yeah, I'm with Johnny.
They didn't clarify. So that would be a twist if it really was her.
Yeah, because she said, I wouldn't do that to you. I'm a mother. I'm this, I'm that. But I'm like, it's convenient. It happened right after he turned you down.
We'll see.
And I guess towards the end when they get the paperwork.
Yeah.
Hopefully the little boy don't get taken, though.
I don't know where they filmed that shit at, but stop hiring rappers. Please.
Just get some actors.
Yeah, get somebody some people else struggling to make it.
We gotta maintain this budget.
Get my nigga Wood Harris in there.
50 Cent got all the good actors.
I get on his show?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do got the actors on the other show. I want to tell y'all, man, I finally seen The Color Purple, man.
All right, the original.
Thing. The original Color Purple. I want to tell you that this movie is horrible. Now hold on, let me preface this. The movie itself, as in the art form of cinema, is good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna start there. Mm-hmm. But for you niggas love this movie the way you do, it is a horrible movie. That's a horrible story.
You told Harpo to beat me.
I was traumatized by that movie. I was like, yo, my people are suffering. They like this shit. Like, I spent the first 15 minutes with my head down because they're raping little girls in this movie.
Right.
Well,
it's a book, right? Well,
it's a book. And to tell me, like, that's how it was back then, I don't give a fuck. It is 2024, and that is nasty. So nasty. And the story of Celie was so sad. Like,
yeah, it's one of the saddest.
Why did they treat her
like
that?
Her and Precious.
I would never choose to watch a movie like this. This movie is upsetting. Like, I was like, oh, my God. Like, what the fuck? Like, it was some funny parts to it. I laughed a lot because... Danny Glover, dog. Danny Glover was young at the time, man.
Yeah,
like, making this movie.
Probably our age.
Yeah, he looked good. Even Suge Avery,
mm-hmm.
She looked good. Because, you know, I've seen her as, you know, she's older now. You know, she's been in Tyler Perry movies as a grandma. So Suge Avery looked good. And James, what you said about Suge and Celie's relationship was probably the best part of the whole fucking movie. When they sit down and they had that conversation, and I laughed, but I also was like, damn, that's so horrible. When she said, Mr., she was like, you don't like sleeping with Mr.? I don't know his real name. I forgot his real name. Archibald or some bullshit.
Mr.
She was like, you don't like sleeping with Mr.? He was like, I love it. He was like, I hate it. He just do his business on me. I was like, oh, man, that's so horrible.
Yeah, man.
That's how it was back then, though. Honestly, it probably was how it was.
She should have slit that nigga throat when
grown
she was
man was marrying
beard.
Young girls.
You seen that shit?
They was, but like, go ask my daddy and my... I would never... If a nigga came to my door, it was like, yo, seen your daughter at church. I'm trying to marry her. I like, nigga, you don't take your ass on somewhere. I will
I
hurt
think that's
you,
very honorable.
It's honorable.
Nowadays it is.
Right, but back then, you
nigga,
had...
Nigga, it was a deal. He didn't even want her. He wanted the other one. Like, you made a deal with your kids? This ain't Bible times.
Sheesh.
But you're... That's... I mean... A lot of men back then did not think of it that way. They were not parents.
They were
business. They operated right. On how can I benefit from this man wanting my daughter? Because unfortunately, my nasty ass is done using her.
Oh, I was about to say they do that
yeah,
shit
and,
now.
Oh, and all her kids were from incest.
Yeah.
Beautiful kids from incest, but incest kids. She had 3 incest kids, I think.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's it's all nasty.
It's a nasty, horrible movie.
You talking about Celie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whew.
That movie is bad. Like, y'all.
It's a good story, though.
It's not.
Okay, I mean, it's not a...
You talking about the 20 minutes of joy at the end?
Not even the joyous part. It's just like, sometimes you got to watch some sad shit, but like, the art of it is good.
The art
of it is fantastic.
Yeah. Right. It's a triumphant story.
The art of it is fantastic. I learned that was Whoopi's first movie.
Yes.
She did great.
Boy.
She did great.
Celie must got that fi-fi.
Ew.
No.
Oh,
I was tripping. So, yeah, back to that. I was tripping on the fact that, you know, Suge hit that. You know what I'm saying? So now Suge done hit both of y'all. Suge had the 5-5. Because you guys see when Suge came back to town and both of them were happy to see her?
Boy, Celie like, so ugly, it ain't got no choice but to be 5.
I disagree.
We're not debating that. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm just saying. Like,
I seen what Suge seen. I thought
Mister was tanning up.
I thought Celie was I thought CeeDee was beautiful.
You the what?
Yeah, man. Like when she told her she was beautiful and made her smile, I was like, you know, Whoopi Goldberg don't look too bad.
Whoopi Goldberg's not
you
ugly.
You lying like hell. Whoopi was ugly.
She's not ugly.
She's a beautiful soul. What? Say that. Beautiful soul.
Not a beautiful soul.
Say, you
shut
surely
up.
Is ugly. And she looked at the camera. I said, hell yeah.
She had mud on her face. She was over there playing with them badass kids.
Stupid.
You show is ugly, but then she helped her discover her beauty, helped her find her sister. Yeah. Like,
her confidence.
Nah, that's facts. But just imagine them times, though, bro. You a kid. You still like playing outside, but now you somebody.
Right. You saw how happy she was when her sister first came back?
Yeah.
Like that, her child, her inner child came out.
But yeah, that's crazy, right? Like one day you playing with dolls. Next thing you know, some man laying on top of you. You making kids from them.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like that, and it's not just our story. Right. That was just a story of the times.
Yeah, yeah.
So that just won't happen to black people. Like it's just
no, it happened. It happened to women.
It's just
it
a great.
To women.
It's a great cinematography. I like the movie. I think.
I was gonna say. I think I like what she said about having sex. Like she was a virgin. She really was a virgin. She had never had till she had sex with Suge. She never had sex.
You're right. She just got raped.
Yeah, so I loved that. Then I was like, yo, I gotta ask these niggas, have you ever did your business on somebody?
What do you mean?
Not rape. Hold on, let me preface that. Not rape, but like,
what do you mean, like busting face or something?
No, like do your business. Like,
this nigga,
what do you mean?
What do you mean?
You go to the chick house, like, yeah, what's up? I get naked. And do your business. And then you put your clothes on and you dip.
Unfortunately, like, yeah, I have done
not
that.
Not rape. It's consensual. Not,
wham,
not the way
bam,
they
thank
was
you, ma'am.
Yeah.
In and out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll let y'all get back.
Do you feel,
stick and move.
Do you feel shitty after somebody, like you do your business on somebody?
Shit, I'd rather it that way. Just,
yeah, I do feel
get
shitty.
Get the fuck up out of here. All right.
It's just like one of them sessions where her pleasure is not in like the forefront. You're like,
yeah,
nah,
you
ain't
feel,
no pussy
you feel a little bad. And especially if you think, if you know it means a little bit more to them than it did to you.
Shit.
Oh, yeah.
Shit, I'm such a, I'm an asshole.
They like
my
the way
dumb
I just
ass
did
be
my
like,
business.
All right, I'm out. You need something? You want something from the kitchen? You need
not
me to hand
kitchen
you this remote.
I was gonna tell you, I think I seen you at Food Line the other day as you putting your pants on.
Yo, the random bullshit conversation just to get up out of it. Yo, you see that special on TV there?
You still selling them oils?
Yo, selling them oils is crazy.
Yeah, hell, I seen your mom and them the other day.
Shit, all right, I'ma holler at you.
All right.
That's funny.
That's fucked
man
up.
That's life.
That's funny.
Rocks.
Also, get man, LeBron James and JJ Redick are coming out with a podcast called Mind the Game. I think the episode dropped last week.
Yeah, it's getting some
don't
views.
Don't this
too
nigga already got a podcast?
JJ Redick is great. I like JJ Redick.
He already got a podcast.
He do.
Mind so you about to have two podcasts.
Yeah, Mind the Game. But Mind the Game,
media
is,
man.
Mind the Game is going to be like nerd basketball, so it's not going. I don't think it's gonna be for everybody.
What do you mean nerd basketball?
Like they're gonna be talking about the ins and outs of the game and how plays break down and stuff like that.
Kind of like when Spike Lee did Kobe doing work.
There you go.
Like
so
that
means LeBron James ain't gonna be in the playoffs.
Nah, NBA need him to be in the playoffs.
He'll be in the play-in.
Nah, he ain't gonna be in the
He ain't be a play. Steph Curry ain't gonna be there either. Caitlyn Jenner and Lamar Odom, they got a podcast coming out calling Keeping Up with Sports.
Shout out to my boys. Oh, sorry. Shout out
hot
to my
trash
people.
It's gonna be an in-depth look at what happens, what it takes to be an athlete.
Okay.
With interviews and all kinds
respect
of in-depth
Caitlyn
stories.
Jenner. Caitlyn Jenner like was an athlete.
Lamar Odom like it's gonna take this line of cocaine.
Crack.
Hit
balls.
Pat me the ball. Hit him.
I mean, that's what niggas was doing in the '80s.
I've not
coke
facts
and crack
you
before
right
the game.
And Lamar
high
Odom, all respect. When Lamar Odom was at his peak, Lamar Odom was hard to guard, bro.
Bro, Lamar hit the coke and started doing shadow moves. Bitch, I got them.
Man, leave Lamar alone, man. He
done
a lot.
When I used to got there,
Lamar had done a lot to get his life back
when
on track.
When did he get hooked? Was he hooked on crack while playing basketball?
He wasn't hooked on crack.
I don't know if he was or not.
Just doing coke.
No, I thought he was doing crack.
No, he did crack.
Damn, he was doing crack.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's when he went. He had the medical emergency.
It might have been after his playing career, or maybe towards the end of his playing
that's
career.
That's why he was
like I said,
like
when
that
Lamar was Lamar was probably top 30 player in the league.
Yeah, that was a good pickup for the Lakers. That was a very good pickup for the Lakers.
That nigga be like,
he left-handed. He could dribble. He's like 6'8", 6'7", whatever, how tall he was.
And he was long. Yeah.
Lamar was that length. Yeah, Lamar was that dude, man. Yeah. People got to put respect on Lamar.
I wonder which drug dealer has his championship rings.
El Chapo. Or that nigga probably pawned that shit.
Just grab curious. A rebound.
I'll take the money for it. Just give me the ring.
Oh, man. I was going to talk about this. NVIDIA developing a robot, an AI, using AI to help develop robots so they can learn human language a little bit better.
Here we go.
Man, they about to have the codes.
Skynet.
In no time.
Full Metal Alchemist.
One of humanoid robots, man. They Akira. On the horizon. I'm not lying, bro. I will buy one if I can afford it.
Where'd you go? Like Alice from
Have y'all seen it
the
yet?
Jetsons
have y'all seen the robot yet?
That nigga going to be sitting in the corner of
your
room.
I don't know
room.
Which robot.
Have
they
you seen the
to?
Humanoid robot?
The ones that like talk and move and answer your questions?
Yeah, like the Tesla
robot.
Yeah,
I've seen some, yeah.
Well, I seen
Ex Machina.
I was in Hawaii. I seen a humanoid robot.
Damn.
I wonder, can it take a punch?
It didn't move or anything. They just had it on display. I mean, I should have asked how much it was.
That stuff is the future, man. Somehow, some way, it is the future.
I mean, if they can develop them things to like clean up your house, be a maid for one low price, like,
hopefully.
I'm with it.
It's just when they start making weapons out of them is when it's going to get.
Well, yeah, that's
going
to happen.
I don't get it. I feel like humanity is forever trying to make everything easy. Yeah. Like, we're trying to keep going forwards to where we don't have to lift a damn thing. And I feel like that's going to be our demise.
That's the, I feel like that's a good business strategy. People don't have time between work and kids and engagements. You don't have time to do things yourself. That's why you call a mechanic, or that's why you call somebody else to do it. And so this is just another way to help with our busy schedules. And I think we're busy by design. Like, we are kept busy by, we work 40-hour weeks. We get 48 hours off. And that's if you work corporate. If you work in retail, a 40-hour week is a lot because you're doing overtime. You're working on weekends. You don't have that much free time to yourself.
You're doing a lot.
You got 48 hours to yourself to get what you need done, and you have to earn your paid time off to get what you need done. So having a robot at the crib to clean the crib is like a genius idea. Or having, you know, of course they're going to weaponize it. I remember I was still living with my mom. It had to be like 2008. And I remember watching on TV the development of super soldiers fits for soldiers to help carry 2 times their weight.
Oh, the exoskeleton
suit. So it's like, they're going to use this shit to inflict punishment upon other people. But there's also going to be benefits for us. I'm not one to believe that robots can take over the world. I just don't believe something that you program can get a mind of its own and literally put you hostage. Like, it's a fucking machine. Unplug it.
That deepfake shit killing niggas too. What's that? Like, they making these AI I can make an AI image of James like FaceTiming somebody.
Oh yeah, but humans are behind all of this.
Yeah,
like the robot ain't making the AI. The human is being the human. I always feel like the human element is always gonna be important in robotics, and that's why. Even like, I just don't have the mind to think that they can take anything over. Yeah, I just don't.
We will see. Siri know everything about me already. All we gotta do is give her a body.
They might be able to rob you.
I can see that.
But kill you? If a robot kill you, bro, I'm talking shit about you at your funeral. Like, how you let that nigga get you, bro? He can't even.
What? The robot's strong as hell, nigga.
You see our robot? Like,
they ain't got no emotion either. They gonna kill you. Have a nice day, like, type shit.
Nah, not in our generation.
I'm still gonna investigate the murder. Like, man, how you let this bitch ass nigga get your breath?
And then he gonna kill your ass.
Nah, he already know you investigating. Because he gonna know your algorithm.
Too nosy.
Because by that time, I'm gonna be on my 10-4 hat shit. I ain't gonna have none of this shit.
I feel you off the grid for real.
Have
me
a 97 Windows Mac DOS or some bullshit.
Yeah.
Yo,
get that Windows 7.
Did y'all have anything in politics?
Yeah, I had a few things. So RFK Jr., the independent candidate this year. He chose his VP.
Ooh.
She is, damn, I had it pulled up.
Some chick.
Man, independent party ain't never going to win. But he making some noise.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr.?
Yeah.
What he promising?
Them stimmies?
Nah, he ain't probably. I don't think anybody going to give us no more stimmies.
What he promising?
Nothing. He's just kind of like a realist, kind of like how Trump was when Trump first came out the first time, where nobody owned him. He just speaking real shit from the top of his brain. He talking about how them vaccines was some bullshit, so you might like him for that.
He definitely voting for him.
Yeah.
Nah, I ain't voting for him because of that.
But so he is. He reminds me of like Trump, just a little tougher.
Okay.
How you going out Trump Trump? You can't out Trump Trump. But go ahead, my
friend. Sound like a good rap line. How you going out Trump Trump?
Damn, man. What is that roller? Okay. Nicole Shannon, Shanahan. She is a co-founder of Google.
She sound black.
Nah, she white.
Sound like an offensive coordinator. Go ahead.
That too.
But he gonna pick her to be the VP.
Okay.
Like I said, I don't think she gonna get anywhere or he gonna get anywhere, but shit, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I might go vote for him just for fun.
What's the what's going on in the presidential race right now? Nothing new?
Nothing new. Waiting for Trump to pick his VP candidate, but it'll probably be like after the primary, because the primary is still going on, even though we know he's gonna win. He still gotta go through all the states and they all gotta vote. Pick. Yeah, I wonder who he's gonna pick too. I'm thinking he's gonna go with a black guy. I think he can go Tim
I'm
Scott.
Going with Snoop Doggy Dogg.
I would love to see Candace Owens and Trump, but I don't know if they'll get along.
That's I'm true. With
That's true.
That nigga over there. He's going to be my...
Ain't no better to call Candace a nigga.
He's going to be my vice president.
I was listening to Candace Owens' interview. You right, man. I don't think she will get along. Although she's like this person who loves Trump, or that's how they paint her in the media.
Right.
Yeah, I don't...
She's a strong personality. I don't think she would deal with Trump shit too long.
Speaking of Candace Owens.
Yeah.
Candace Owens is on the Breakfast Club, man. It was a good interview. It's a good interview.
Yeah, I wanted her and Umar got to do it now. They got to get together.
My mom was talking.
Umar would let her talk. I feel like Umar might try to, like, I don't know. I feel like they both would try to out-educate each other instead of talking to each other.
Yeah.
Like, I know more stats than you know. Because they both rattle off them stats.
I think Candace does a great job with guiding conversations to where they don't become screaming or yelling matches, because she'll tell you, I mean, she's done it before in previous interviews. Well, she'll just say, you know, hey, you want to let me have the floor, you want to let me speak, and you know, she'll highlight the disrespect.
I'm sorry, my sister, go ahead.
Yeah, she'll highlight the disrespect, so they'll just shut the hell up and then she'll say her piece. I think it would be an interesting conversation, but at some point Candace may walk all over him.
Oh, definitely. She would expose him for her. I mean, I like Umar, but it's sometimes where he just be saying stuff, and as long as you got like a mind that would believe it, then he'll suck you in.
Candace misses
like
me.
Saying stuff like what?
But he'll just like make up something, and niggas and black people would be like, oh yeah, he right about that.
I mean, the grip money thing.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, okay. Outrageous right. Like that. And but people would think that is gospel. Like somebody would go to the barbershop and be like, man, he was right about that grip money, bro.
You know what? I think the same thing can happen with Candace if we took the time to really look into her. One of the things is she don't connect with our culture because of, you know, how the media paints her.
She doesn't want to.
Yeah, that's what my mom
she claims
was
she wants to. She claims she is of our culture.
She said she was pandering to the black folk.
She got a black dad, like she said.
That's why I say, man, if she want to be a part of us, you want us to support you, bring the bump curl back. You got to bring the bump curl with the finger waves on the side.
She's not ethnic enough for you.
I feel like as a public figure, if you want me to think you're for my community, you would have to lose the white husband. Now, I get it. Love who you want to love. Right. I ain't saying you can't love who you want to love, but once you put yourself as this person who is for the community, you cannot be for the community if you're not representing the community fully. Like, one thing black people are all about is like what we see. Representation matters. It matters a lot. It mattered a lot that Barack Obama had a black wife. That mattered. Like, you don't think it matters.
That's why we don't fuck with Kamala.
Exactly. That shit matters because it matters to our children. They need to see black men with black women. It just matters in a way that I don't think that people understand. And I'm not saying you can't love who you want to love, but when you become this mouthpiece for a community, it's important how you present. It's important how a president presents. It's important how a CEO presents. You know, we even talked about the guy who was gay that was running for president. What's he going to do because he needs a wife? Like, it's even the country realized, like,
a Pete Buttigieg.
Even a country realizes it's important how you present. So I think it's important how Candace presents.
She but what about people like Jesse Owens? Like, people go hard for Jesse Owens, but he had a white wife too, didn't he? Jesse or was she black?
Jesse Owens, Jesse Owens.
The light-skinned brother?
The light-skinned guy.
Was she white or black, his wife?
Show me Jesse Owens.
I think his name was Jesse Owens. He was light-skinned dude from Grey's Anatomy that was going on BET giving all the speeches.
I know who you're talking about. I know you're talking about.
Was his wife black or white?
I don't know. I know exactly with the gray eyes. Yeah. I thought his wife was black.
Maybe so, maybe so.
Yeah, black wife.
I thought his wife was black.
I feel like it's a lot of like celebrities that go hard for like black this, black that, but then you look at them and they married to a white woman.
But the most influential ones are your LeBron Jameses.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, your most influential ones are going to have that representation. Like, I wouldn't even say Dr. Umar was influential. You know what I'm saying? I don't really think when it comes to, like, that voice for black people, I don't think that exists at this point in time. Because you got people like Sean King, but not everybody follow, not Sean King. You got Tariq Nasheed, but not everybody follow that. Yeah. You got 19 Keys, not everybody follow that. We're so divided right now. We don't have a Martin and a Malcolm. We ain't got that.
Because at one point, because sometimes I think it becomes like they start to profit off of it. And that's when you start to not take him serious.
That's when you stop taking it serious. And it's Jesse Williams that Jesse you're thinking
Williams. Of. Yeah, his name is.
He got a black wife. Or I know he got a divorce.
You said he, you know, he has a what?
I know he got a divorce.
He was married to a black wife.
Okay.
But yeah, you're right. They did get a divorce. I was going to say, going back to, you mentioned something in regards to, you can't help who you love. So the question that was asked of her by Charlamagne, because I think he kind of highlighted the same thing that you're saying. It is important for us to see, for the community that you are advocating for, to see that you have, you know, you believe in that black love so much so that you have a black husband. I think that would stand well for her. I also understand, you're right. Love who you love. She says she doesn't see color in regards of, you know, the person, her person that she chose. What I did not care for, which I would like for her to maybe articulate with some clarity or expand on, is she said that she was more so concerned with somebody matching her intellect because her mind is so different. And her mind, you know, she's like, I'm all over the place, I'm always thinking. And so it was like, you know, I found somebody that matched my intellect. But it's like, how she kind of left it open. Are you saying that there were no black men that were able to match your intellect? Are you saying that you were not able to find that in the men that you were dating? Like, you just, did you immediately go to this man that looks nothing like you or your daddy and say, I align with him because he's brilliant? Like,
you're right. She should.
I mean, like, especially in the circle she's running, she probably ran into some intellectual black men that's into the stuff she into.
Yeah.
But I don't think she ever grew up around black people like that. Like, I think she's always been integrated within like that white community.
Right.
It didn't sound like
which makes it a little bit hard to connect. But, you know,
true. But the stuff she says sometimes, just like Umar, the stuff they say sometimes, it makes sense. And yeah, we do blindly follow whatever the media tell us to follow. Majority of us do.
But what? But give us something. You know what I'm saying? Like, my gripe with all them niggas is like, yeah, that sound good, but give niggas something. Like, y'all don't understand. Like,
what? Like, go research this if you don't believe me. Well, like, no, that.
The thing is, these new niggas do a lot of talking, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they do a lot of discrediting of people who actually got up out the bed and did some work. They don't like Obama. They try to shit on King. They try to shit on Malcolm. Like, these niggas be trying to go back and shit on niggas who got out the bed, hit them streets out there, and at the time did something that other black people would be like, yo, you tripping. I'm not sitting in there with you. Yo, you tripping. I'm not going up there saying, I got a job. This white man paid me good money to feed my family. You want me to almost lose that for some niggas I don't even know? Mm-hmm. Y'all niggas is getting in front of cameras on the internet. Y'all niggas have gained this popularity from the internet, and y'all talking a lot of shit because you read a lot of fucking books. But which one of you niggas been outside and in these communities with these people? Like, yeah, that's what I really want to know.
That's true, not many.
Who been on the ground to see what's really going on? You could talk all day about the welfare numbers and, you know what I'm saying? Da-da-da. I hear her talking about niggas love the free check. Well, guess what? We've worked ourselves into a place in society where we need that free check. The pandemic didn't hurt niggas no more than we was already hurt. It just put more hurt on top of niggas. We at a point where we need that free check. The man ain't in the home no more. Yeah, it may have started there, but the niggas ain't in the home no more because niggas is wilding now. Like, it ain't what you keep trying to reference from the 50s. Well, this is where it started. It's deep-rooted. Well, how do we fix the problem? Because now it ain't even about that no more. He ain't in the home not so you can get the check. Wow. He just ain't in the home because he ain't fucking with you and them kids no more. So this is a different problem. Y'all keep talking about shit, but y'all don't know what the fuck y'all talking about because y'all not in the community. Uh-huh. Y'all got money. Y'all ain't in the community. I can tell y'all not in the community. Y'all too busy to go be good. In the community.
I don't even know where Umar
Damn,
lives.
Damn, Bishop.
Like, I remember the last. I can't remember the last. Like, bro, I had to remember I was far removed. I can't remember the last time I was in the community on the block seeing some shit.
LaSalle. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't on LaSalle.
You gotta know, like, to know what those people need, to know why this shit is still happening. It starts with the groundwork. And honestly, you can shit on Obama, you can shit on all them guys, but them guys went outside, they seen the need, and they tried their best to fill it in the way they thought would help their people.
But
you guys getting behind the mic and just talking shit and going in the stats say, stats are great.
Stats. They would know them stats like Love the back stats. Of their hand.
I could stat you out about some niggas on some basketball or some baseball or some football.
Shut up, Bubba Sunday.
But somebody might not have the stats of one person, but if you ever watch them play, it's important. The eye test is everything. Go to the neighborhood. Talk to the women and children that receive WIC. Since she loved talking about WIC and welfare. Talk to the I was a WIC recipient. My daughter was a WIC recipient.
Yeah,
we needed
shout out
that.
To the government. Appreciate
we needed that.
That,
man.
Appreciate
like, familiar, baby. Everybody's situation ain't because of what you're saying, it's because of. Like, sometimes the situation is because niggas is just young having kids. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it, you know, y'all talk about the education system. What are you doing to fix it?
Nothing.
You know, do you even know what they teach in the class? You telling me, but do you know? You know what I'm saying? And how do you fix it? And then what are the solutions? Y'all go back and forth arguing about what's best for black people, but let's talk about a solution. Let's get solution based. I'm done with the debates about if niggas only did this, what they not. They buying joys. Now what? What do we do?
Right.
What we do? Because niggas like
100, bro.
Bishop.
Niggas like George. Like, so now what? You gonna keep telling them to stop buying? No, we buying them. Now what we do? Now help us out. Hey, I'm buying this, I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. I'm smoking weed, I'm getting this, but help. So what's how do we fix the problem, sir?
But I ain't gotta give niggas a Jordan credit once a month. Yeah. And get everybody folks.
Yeah, how do we fix the problem? Like, tell me how to fix the problem. Don't keep talking about that's all they do. Umar, talk about the problem. See what they doing and what they doing. Well, what you doing?
They're not educating our young brothers
what
and sisters.
What you doing, Candace, besides school. Fucking this
ain't
white
nothing
man.
A the white school. Teacher can teach my kids.
He's so, building a school.
What?
That school. Hey. He's still building it. He's doing that shit by himself. That's why it's taking so long.
Show me what you doing, man. That's
they
all
out
I
there
got
there with
to
a
say,
$30
man.
Target toolbox. Doing HVAC.
I'm going to tell you real quick. You don't need a fancy school to educate people. You don't.
Nah, you don't.
I've watched.
You don't need a fancy education to be smart.
No. But I've watched enough seen documentaries, watched content of how people go to Africa, and they get a house like a little hut, and they start educating kids. Man, they just hey, come here, let me teach you some shit. These are white people.
Shout out to Mr.
So
Beast.
So of course we already know what they're doing. You know, hey, you know, stupid. Let me teach you about colonization and what we just did to your people. But anyway. You don't need a fancy school and a gymnasium, all this shit. You want to teach some kids, go get licensed, you yourself, and go find some kids and get them enrolled and start teaching them yourself.
That is true. See, he definitely got the money
for
that.
You got to start somewhere, but to me, it sounds like you taking the grip money and putting it in your pocket.
Ooh.
No different than what Black Lives Matter did, man. Like,
yeah, shout out to Black Lives Matter for taking my damn money for that t-shirt, you sons of bitches.
If you want to help somebody, like Candace be right in what you're saying, but you just making content and having conversations, sweetie. So I'm not mad at you and your views, but you make content and you have conversations. Like, what are you doing? What do you do? What do you do? Our heroes aren't on TV, black people. Like, you know your heroes in your community. There's people around, like, if Kenneth would have never made it on TV, he's somebody hero in somebody's community. Like, those are real heroes.
You talking about Candace Owens,
I remember when she first came out, I ain't like her like that. But then, like, these last couple years, she started making sense to me somehow. I was like, what the fuck?
Because black people like that shit. It's salacious. We love celebrity. But when you, I don't like that type of celebrity because you just talking. What are you doing? Like, I like my celebrities to be defined. You do music. You do acting. You do sports. But when you call yourself a civil rights leader, I don't need to see you on my TV every day doing interviews and speeches and on my IG live. To me, you just another celebrity. So just be a celebrity. Just be that.
Man, she is at this point.
Yeah, and that's what you are. But, like, man, come on, man. You don't really care about us, dog. You just like talking about a problem because people like to talk about problems, and talking about problems is the number one piece of content. That's why relationship podcasts are so great, because they don't provide any help. They just keep going back and forth on the same subjects all the time. That's why they're the number one podcast. We love to talk about our problems.
Yeah, if they was real, they bring couples up there and they would go through the counseling with the couples on live podcast. Yep.
Can you imagine Candace Owens on Beta's Ford somewhere?
She would hate it.
She would go.
What the fuck is going on? What's her husband name?
I don't even know, some white thing.
She talking about they give
Brandon.
She said they giving niggas more, like, she was like, they giving y'all more government assistance. I'm like, man, some people need that shit. She's talking about they making you lazy. I'm like, dog, everybody that received that shit ain't lazy. That is a misconception, and it's a fucked up misconception.
Because they point out the people that misuse it.
Yes, but that, you know what percentage of people that is? And I'm going to be real with you. There are white people who have funds, who know how to get over on the government to get the same assistance. I've seen it.
And Indians.
So it's not a black thing. I think that's something I said on this podcast before. Sometimes it's just, you got poor people who know how to get over. And black people don't make up the majority of fucking poor people. We just don't. Like, look, like, most of America is in the Midwest, and we don't live out there. So who you think is poor in Montana? Who you think is poor in Idaho? Who you think is poor in West Virginia? Who you think is poor in fucking Iowa? Like, it ain't us. Like, stop with the bullshit.
Brandon, they have $2 generals.
Talking about they get handed out stimmies and they made you more lazy. Like, come on, Charlamagne, you really letting her say this shit on the radio?
He probably don't know no better. He removed from the community too. So I mean, he'd be in the community. I give him that.
They incentivize niggas not to get jobs. Man, niggas want jobs. What are you talking about?
We were the workers. What do they call it? Contingent essential workers.
Most niggas went out and got a job during that time. Like, shit, they need people. I'm going out there.
You gotta stop that or you good?
Huh?
Nothing.
But yeah, that's all I had on that. I mean, Candace is cool, but I mean, I don't like none of them niggas. I'm gonna be honest. I really personally don't care for none of them niggas. I'd like to listen to them talk, but they're not doing shit. They
I
just
don't like to listen
talking.
To them talk.
They entertain me.
They make
I love pulling funny clips from a Dr. Umar video.
And it's Brandon, good for a barbershop a debate. Midget? Like, this is good barbershop debate content. Like, I'm gonna take this to the barbershop and have an argument. Like, you know what I'm saying? Something to fight about if you like to, you know, have a discussion or whatever. But anyway. Yeah.
And Jessica Hilarious gotta work on her craft a little bit.
Boy, she be silent as fuck during them whole interviews, goddamn.
I get it. It's stuff that she probably not familiar with right now, but I think if she keep, you know, sharpening the iron, she'll get better at it.
Yeah.
But she do good when it's like Instagram people or celebrities or black celebrities up there, but like when those political people get up there, she not really.
She be
quiet. Can tell she out of her element.
She be like, she has that question queued up, her 2-3 little questions. Yeah. And they be so like baseline.
Yeah, it'd be like when you interview somebody and you in high school and you get to interview a Hornets player.
It's like Charlamagne be doing all this in depth conversation. She's like, tell me about a time you had to deal with a difficult situation.
Yeah, Candace. Yeah. Like she don't really know how to set up her questions yet with those type of people. But like I said, she'll get there. They've been doing it for 10 plus years and she just got into it.
And they real good at it. They real good at it.
Yeah. Even Envy. Envy do his thing too.
Yeah, he do. That's really all I have for the show, man. Y'all got anything for Content Corner, or I'm the only one to know?
I didn't have anything for Content Corner.
I think it's just you.
All right, man.
Anybody out there got Township, hit me up, man. I'm a mayor on Township on my phone. I've been killing it. My crops is thriving. My co-op, one of the best co-ops in the game.
What you doing for the community?
Johnny
Shutt. Man, well, you know, I'm always on the message board seeing what my co-op needs. It's okay. Like, oh, okay, I got some corn. I got you.
Mm-hmm. Y'all got a community garden?
Huh? No, we ain't got a community garden.
Well, y'all ain't shit.
I'm going to ask us four. I'm going to bring y'all some of my vegetables this year. Y'all be ready, bruh. organic. You know what I'm saying? I don't put no pesticides on my shit.
That's okay. What's up.
You know what I'm saying? I done put eggshells in the soil all winter.
Would you stop to get the bugs off?
So my grandma gave me this. It's like a vinegar and water solution. You just kind of spray it. Yeah, spray it on there.
Okay.
All right. This
white vinegar, not apple cider, because that's kind of sweet and that attracts more bugs.
Oh yeah, I can see that. Although I killed most of my fruit flies with apple cider and vinegar.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're right. Ah yeah. All right, man. This is real quick, man. I thought this was funny. It's an interview, and it's a snippet of an interview. Well cut. You guys will get it once you hear it.
Okay.
Our brother used to break in our house and steal the TV.
But now he's dead.
Your brother?
Oh shit.
Yeah, man. He was talking about his brother being a drug addict, man. So he's
Yeah.
So overdosing, man. Shout out to that, man. Real quick, man, we keep forgetting to do this segment every week, but man, my sleeper picks. I have some sleeper picks. I never get to these sleeper picks for content for y'all to watch during the week.
Okay.
But I've been watching Breaking Bad. That's not a sleeper. But I had watched this shit called BitCon. Watch BitCon. It's
on
Netflix.
Right?
Yes, yeah. That's a good ass doc. Yeah. And I watched one more thing.
Shiba Inu.
What is my other shit?
Hey man, fuck them niggas, man.
Hold on, I gotta
niggas owe me $100K. Motherfuckers.
Nigga put in 36 talking about he supposed to get $100K investment on
that
return.
Oh, and the Darnell Rawlings special, A New Day. Check that joint out.
Check that joint out.
Yeah.
I heard Cat Williams got a Netflix special coming.
I hope so.
That's what I heard.
Off the strength. I wonder how much they gave him.
Yo, and watch X-Men 97. What else? Y'all got any sleepers, anything?
Niggas but I did want to say RIP to Jessica Pedway.
Oh, yeah, I heard about
that. She's beauty, fashion, lifestyle YouTube influencer. I think she started in like 2013, but she passed away recently, age 36, due to a misdiagnosis. She had stage 3 cervical cancer.
Terrible.
Any advice for ladies out there when they're going to get their fibroids, if they are having fibroids? So this, because this could have been, I feel like this could have been prevented. This young lady's life could have been saved.
She would have had a much better chance had they caught it early. One, you should be going to see a gynecologist annually. I know it's not comfortable, ladies. I know you don't like it, but if you can bust it wide open, and even if you're not busting it wide open, get on that table and let them do their 5 minutes
of
work.
Take a piece of your vagina out of you?
No.
Oh, I heard that he, I like.
Look at what we think.
No.
I heard it's your pound.
Go in like aliens.
No. So a pap smear, essentially, they use a tool to expand to get to, you know, get a visual opening.
Maybe
I'm not going to make it too graphic.
Like it hurts.
So that they can scrape the inner side, so they'll run various tests make sure you know that you are clear for some things. If you go to an oncologist, which is what she eventually did do, they take a sample of the fibroid, because fibroids are essentially just benign tumors. They're just there,
no anesthesia.
Build this code 1 4 5.
They don't necessarily bother you. For some women, they may not bother you if they're small. But as they get bigger, they can become a problem up to the point of a required hysterectomy, which I know some women have had to do.
Oh, yeah. I know a few people that got a hysterectomy.
Okay. It's just more prominent in non-Hispanic black women.
I like Listerine.
Or they can laser remove those. Am I right?
They can do
a
laser.
Instead of doing a hysterectomy and get a laser?
It's another procedure. I know two people that did that.
I just wanted to make sure. I just got
Nigga was happy. He learned something. So no, they can do a procedure. I don't recall the name at this moment, but they do a procedure where they will go in and laser cut the blood flow to the fibroids, because essentially that's what it is. It's receiving blood flow to, you know, whatever. So they'll remove it, cut the blood flow for the bigger ones. I know two people that have had that done. It did not work. They ended up just having a hysterectomy.
So that was for our 4 women listeners.
I'm about to say, we didn't gain 2 women listeners. Now clip that up. They going to think we talk about this all the time.
Yeah. Oh, they do women's sexual health. Like, this is great.
I would say, ladies, just go get your stuff checked. And if you believe you're not being listened to, find somebody else that's going to listen to you.
All right, man, and that has been episode 296 of the Kick Shit Podcast on all streaming platforms: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Google Play, iHeartRadio. Final thoughts?
I ain't got nothing for you, man.
I ain't got no
You ain't got nothing, Johnny?
I got pee.
Oh, okay. Well,
all right. Well,
well with that being said.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Candace Owens, bring back that bump curl. And we'll get on your side.
Did Usher do a versus? He ain't never did one, did he?
Nah, but they should do one versus Tim. Yeah. Justin, I'll watch that.
Usher over Justin Timberlake all day.
All right. Candace Owens over Dr. Umar all day.
Nah, you tripping.
That's debatable.
Her husband white.
Dr. Umar got 8 wives.
They all black.
Okay, good point.
Didn't he got 8 wives?
Nah, I don't think so.
Oh. I was gonna say, no, he don't.
I don't know what he got going on. Dr. Umar come out LGBT on y'all. Y'all gonna be upset.
Bro. If you got
my nigga Mar like that, bro.
If you have gambling problems.
There we go.
Hold on, did the parlay hit?
Call 877-718-5543.
There you go.
5543.
How much you gonna let me hold?
Man, did the parlay hit?
Damn.
I have nothing to let you hold.
But I'll make you laugh.
I said,
every week. You
I
can't
said,
let me hold.
You listen to him. Every week. I ain't say nothing.
What would you did laugh at?
Alright,
I'm gonna start charging
James,
for my
happy,
joy.
I'm happy to have you back on this couch, man.
Oh, thanks.
I didn't miss you last week, man.
I was tired, man.
I ain't miss
I miss you.
Yes, you did.
He lying like a motherfucker. He wanna hug you. I ain't gonna lie. Alright, other than that, man. No. I'm signing off for D. I'm signing off for James. I'm signing off for my boy Jukebox Johnny, man. Listen, I want you guys out there to love life you live and the people in it. Find the positive in every situation and live in the moment because this life is not forever. We're going to talk to y'all on the next ride. Thank you for joining us, man. See y'all next week.
Get your group look how cool they made the black kid compared to all the other kids.
Now, hey, little mama, I love this high we're on to.